Investigative journalist and author Nikki Hager has been causing trouble for New Zealand's political class for well over a decade. From our part in a global spy network to dirty tricks and spin by corporates and government, it's been his mission to shine a light on the often secret workings of power.
When you see something that you think is unfair or wrong, you want to do something about it. And it really feels good. It's a good way to spend your life if you have a way that you can do that.
In 2006, he published a book that, without any exaggeration, can be said to have contained material that ended the National Party's and its then-leader Don Brash's hopes of winning the previous year's election. The inspiration for that book came from Brash's infamous Orewa speech 2 years earlier.
I thought to myself, if I could do something that would find out and reveal the cynicism behind that speech and what was really going on, I would love to do that.
None of us was around at the time of the New Zealand Wars. None of us had anything to do with the confiscations. There is a limit to how much any generation can apologise for the sins of its great-grandparents.
As happens in a country like New Zealand, opportunity came along. I heard about someone, interestingly, in the midst of the National Party, who might be prepared to help me on a project. That took me into all kinds of other areas of what was happening inside that party.
I mean, obviously it surprises people that someone with a liberal reputation such as yours should find common cause with someone inside the National Party, the party of the establishment.
One of the real things I love about my work is the fact that any prejudices or preconceptions I have are constantly being wiped away. And with the National Party, no, I mightn't agree with them on this or that policy, but there are people there, not necessarily all of them, but there are people there who care about exactly the same things as anyone else in New Zealand does, about telling the truth, for example.
The Hollow Men reads a bit like a thriller, albeit with footnotes. Based on a mass of leaked emails and internal party documents, it details a Machiavellian propaganda campaign combined with some cynical manipulation of the electoral spending rules. And yet, the book is far more than just a simple political whodunit.
At its heart, it's an institutional analysis of how political spin and public relations and campaigns are managed in this kind of cynical media age, as opposed to a smoking gun.
Once I had this body of material, I didn't want to make the news for a week. I wasn't interested in scalps or political things. It bores me. It feels very passing and not the point. Well, once I had that body of stuff, I wanted to produce something where any person who read it would kind of get the world. It would have actually taken them to a completely new place, and they wouldn't just be subject to all the spin and things that happen after that. And in that sense, my frustrations about the way that my book got put through the normal political stuff is minor compared to the fact that I think I pulled it off.
He said they're not stolen. I guess he would say that.
Well, he's saying that they're leaked.
Well,
they're leaked by people close to you.
What we did know from media commentary was that a telephone book, I think was the words that Winston Peters used, perhaps 10 telephone books, Winston Peters said, that suggests very large-scale theft of my email property.
One of the things that surprised me about the reaction to the Hollow Men was the attitude to the emails themselves, you know, which is the source content of the book. That it became a question of these were stolen or that they were gained in an unseemly way, rather than this is the bread and butter of investigative journalism.
Yeah. This is why people should read a book like The Hollow Men, because when you know how these people think, when you know what their PR strategies are, when you know how they respond to crises, then you would have watched an event like my book come out and just tick the boxes. First of all, we deny everything. At least half our constituency might believe that. Then we attack the messenger and try to marginalise them, which is never fun in my position. But one of the main things they do in that situation, which you can go to conferences overseas on crisis management in the PR industry, what they always say is, they say, paint yourself as a victim.
Then why don't you lift
the
injunction?
Well, because I want, at least until I get a chance to talk to legal counsel tomorrow, to make sure I have some way of protecting the privacy of those who've sent emails to me. I'd like him, meantime, to comply with a court order and hand over those emails to the court.
You were the thief and Don Brash was the victim.
Exactly. And it was a convenient story for them. And the only thing that was frustrating about it from my point of view, because I up to a point I think you have to trust the public to see through things, the only thing that was frustrating for me was that of the journalist calls I got, not talking about the public out there, but of the media calls I got about the book, that by the end of that year, they'd probably run about 20 to 1 content of the book versus origin of the emails. In other words, they'd fallen yet again for the public relations strategy.
Well, the truth will out, as they say. Once the spin died down, the Hollow Men could be seen more clearly for what it was and is, a timeless case study of the secret workings of political power and influence.
And what's your personal reward for the hard work and let's face it, some of the vilification that you receive when those PR tactics are applied to you as you've laid out in a book like this?
Plenty of rewards, actually. Like anyone who writes a book, even if it is painful while it happens, it feels really good.
And that's the last word from us for this time. Thank